How are you feeling? Hallelujah.
Amen.
You enjoying the flow of life,
Amen.
The water of life. This weekend is there has been a tremendous burden that we would see something. You remember the first message? What was the key word for that first message?
See.
Let's all say that. See. What do we want to see? We want to see the divine stream.
Amen.
The divine stream. There's a stream in the universe. It's been flowing from eternity. His goings forth are from eternity. And He's flowing unto eternity. We wanted to see in that first message that what? He's flowing from Genesis to Revelation. It's consistent. He's flowing as a divine stream. And it's so awesome. You know, we didn't make this up, but God Himself chose the figure. He chose the figure as of a stream of water to represent, to portray Himself as life to man.
Amen.
What did He decide to use?
Water.
Stream of water. Do you like that word?
Yeah.
I like that word, water. My mom told me that my first word, other than mama, was awa. Hallelujah. Agua. Agua viva. Hallelujah. It was a sign of my life. A life of water. This is our destiny, to be men and women of water. Brothers and sisters, praise the Lord. Well, again, we've been praying that the Lord would really give us a vision of this divine stream flowing from Genesis to Revelation. And then the second message, we had another burden. What was the burden in this message?
Drink.
That we all would what?
Drink.
Does it do any good to know about the water?
No.
Drink the water.
Amen.
Sam, you want to just look at it? You want to study it? You want to study H2O? Listen, we want to drink.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh,
Lord Jesus. The Lord needs drinkers. We see something of His flowing and we become participants in that divine stream. And this divine stream is flowing. And then we saw last night, this divine stream flows into us to produce something. And that is what? To produce ministers of life. Ministers of life. So what was the word for that for last night?
Flowing.
Flowing. Amen. So we see, we drink, and then what do? We flow. Let's all say that. See.
See.
Drink.
Drink.
Flow.
Flow.
What's this message?
Build.
Amen. Everyone. Build. What is build? What is building? We'll come to that. In the first message, I can't help but go back and give a kind of a little review, because I think it's just tremendous to see in the throughout the whole Bible. I hope you would appreciate the Bible and realize that this was not something, this is not something, oh, it just happened that way, or it's just a coincidence that there's this matter of a river, you know, here and a spring here and, you know, water here. Listen, this is a central thought in the whole Bible. Don't miss a central thought. It's so easy for believers to just get off on one line, to get in this little thing and that little thing, and not realize what the central thought is in the whole Bible. The central thought in the whole Bible is that God is a God of life. And He wants to dispense. He wants to give Himself as life in Christ to His chosen and redeemed ones. He wants to give His life to you, angel. Wow, an angel's got life. Amen. He wants to give His life to us.
Amen.
And He shows Himself as a river throughout the Bible. In Genesis, obviously, you see Him there as the tree of life. But there's also what? There's a river there. And there are precious materials in the river. And then you go to Exodus. There's a rock that's following the children of Israel. And Moses smote the rock. And what happened? Outflowed
water.
And then you just go on. In Deuteronomy, I really like what he mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 8. There's a description of the good land. You know, what are some of the aspects of the good land? Sam, do you remember? What is it? Okay, yeah, you know all, you got them all. You know, there's other things. There's wheat and barley and pomegranates and, you know, so many items in the good land. And they all portray Christ. They're a picture of how rich Christ is. But the first items mentioned in the good land in Deuteronomy 8 is what? It's a land of water brooks and springs and fountains. Doing what? Flowing forth. I love that. He's flowing forth where? In valleys and in mountains. Praise the Lord. Let's all repeat after me. Water brooks.
Water brooks.
Springs.
Springs.
Fountains.
Fountains.
Flowing forth.
Flowing forth.
Come on, angel, you have to use your hands. Flowing forth.
Flowing forth.
Hallelujah. Water flowing forth. This is the divine stream.
Amen.
You just go on and then Deuteronomy, then you have Psalms. You know, there's a river. There's a river. I like Psalm, I think it's 46. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Michael, there's a river. Let's all say that. There's a river. The streams whereof, make glad.
Make glad.
Glad. That's right. The city of God.
The city of God.
Even there you see something of what is this river for? It's for the city. The river doesn't flow aimlessly. It's aiming at something. Right? The city. Okay. Then concerning the divine stream, he just keeps on flowing. You see it in Ezekiel 47. The water's flowing out of the house. In Zechariah, there's a fountain open, referring to the Lord's, when He died on the cross, His side was pierced and outflowed what? Blood and water. What is the blood for? Ichon, what is blood for? What is the water for? Yeah, blood deals with what? Sins. The water deals with death. Hallelujah for blood and water.
Amen.
But that's just the Old Testament. Then you come to the New Testament. Then what do you see? You see the Lord presenting Himself as what?
Water.
Yeah. Can we all say that? Water.
Water.
Yeah, isn't that awesome? The Lord comes. And this is God incarnated to be a man. He flowed Himself into a man, Christ Jesus. And then He lived a perfect human life. He was God, yet man. Man, yet God. And in His living, it was a perfect living. And He met all the requirements of God. And He went to the cross. He died for us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He took care of all the sin problems on the cross.
Amen.
He dealt with Satan. He dealt with the world. He dealt with our old man. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah for His all-inclusive death. But that's not all. He died and resurrected and He became the life-giving Spirit to flow into us.
Amen.
And I hope we could really see this. I have some burden here that we would have our eyes open in a fresh way regarding who He is. Who is this one living in us? Who's this one flowing in us? I'll come back to that. And then you just go on to the end of the Bible. What's at the end of the Bible? Chapter 21, chapter 22. There's the water of life. There's a throne and there's a river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. What happens when we drink the river? We come under the throne. We touch the throne. You know, I just as an example, if you're a driver and you're driving down the road and you begin to turn to the Lord and call on the Lord, I think your response is the same as mine. All of a sudden, there's a throne. You know what happens? The first thing I do is when I turn to the Lord, I look at my speedometer. It's so strange because there's such a tendency to not take care of the speed limit. But you just turn and all of a sudden, you're like, it's like this is a heavenly policeman. When you see a policeman, what do? You let off the accelerator. All of a sudden, even you're riding, you're doing the speed limit, but you still just... It's the same way. You touch the Lord. Lord Jesus. And Jesus, speedometer. You know, what is it? There's a throne in us. It's in the water. Hallelujah. Actually, we'll see this morning. Everything's in the water.
Amen.
Everything we need is in this river of water of life. Then I want to do something, saints. I want to go back and refer back to something that Craig mentioned last night. And I hope you would maybe take note of a couple of things. Number one, when He measures us, He's looking for room in us. You know, there may be some things that are in the way. And He's touching certain things. And He's not touching everything. He's touching something in particular. Don't you have experiences like that? Little by little, little by little. You know, I've shared before and, you know, different things. When I first had a turn to the Lord, I began to pursue Him and seek after Him. The Lord began to measure. The first thing that went, guess what it was? Well, okay, the rock concerts went. All of a sudden, they ended. No more. There's no room for Christ here. I don't enjoy Christ there. It's no place. There's no room in my being for that. The rock music went out the window. But that's just me. That's not you, right? I remember also I went to a meeting and a brother, I had this t-shirt and it looked like a big peacock, a colorful peacock, but it was an angry peacock. Kind of like an angry bird peacock, you know? And, you know, I thought it was cool. But for some reason, you know, maybe it didn't bother anybody else, but for some reason, when a brother came up and he said, "Hi, what is your name?" I was new. And I said, "Ken Walker." He just kind of looked at my shirt and looked at it. "Glad to meet you." But that look at my little shirt, it was like laser beams. I hated that shirt after that. I got measured. Guess what happened? The water increased. Little by little, the Lord is working in lots of areas. You know, somebody else, they may be totally into the symphonies and go listen to classical music. Listen, the Lord would never measure me in that. I could care less about that. My brother used to play classical music and drove me crazy when I was a kid. Oh, anyway. But for someone else, the Lord may measure. He may want room there. You know, there's too occupied with this. Anyway, the Lord knows in each one of us there's something He's measuring. But when He measures us, it may be even your practice in the church life. He may measure you're not enough in this, you're not enough in that. When He measures, what we need to give Him the ground. We need to give in.
Right.
Take care of the practice that gives us life. Practices that build up the church. But what do? We don't take that measuring stick and go measure someone else. Oh, that shirt. I mean, that sweatshirt, Herman, it's got UCLA on it. We're not for any one school. We don't measure one another, right? Do we? We just receive everyone. We let everyone be where they are. We let the Lord measure. Let the Lord possess each and every one the way the Lord is working according to where they are.
Amen.
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 So what do we do with one another? We just let everyone be according to who they are in the Lord.
Amen.
Where they are in the Lord.
That's right.
And we just love and receive one another.
Amen.
So we get measured, but we don't measure one another. Got it?
Amen.
Okay, tell your neighbor, don't measure.
Don't.
Okay. Then there's something else, and that is there's one area that I feel like the Lord likes to measure. He needs to measure because it's critical to the Christian life. And that is, you know, we talked about time yesterday afternoon. Time. Time is precious. You only have so much. You guys think it's unlimited. Listen, for me, the hourglass and all the sand is down to just a little bit left. Time is precious. It's the most precious commodity we have. What will we do with our time? Well, the one area the Lord has to really gain in all of us, for the sake of His move, for the sake of the divine stream, carrying out what's on the Lord's heart, is He needs to move in to this area. You know what it is? Our time with the Lord in the morning. A little bit of time, saints. Do you agree? Do you realize if you don't get something of the Lord in the morning, your whole day is set without Him? Do you want to live a day apart from Him, without Him? You may think, well, I'll take care of Him tomorrow. Well, next thing you know, you're bent that way. You're bent on delaying the Lord, and bent on delaying and getting to the Lord in the morning. But listen, we all can enjoy the Lord in the morning. And there's just a four little points I'd like to present in the way of how to enjoy the Lord in the morning. From the ministry, I picked up these 4 points, and I just love them. Number one, you know what we need to do in the morning? We don't have much time, but please, let the Lord measure you and possess you in this area. A little bit of time to, number one, stop. Stop and behold the Lord. You know what that means? That means, you know, like in Matthew 5, or is it 6? Matthew 6. The Lord said, when you enter, you know, concerning praying, when you enter your private room, shut the door. Private room, private. Shut the door. And then pray to your Father who is in secret, and He sees in secrets. And then what does it say? And He will what? He will what? Repay you. Listen, isn't that awesome? You know, I just kind of like that. It's like payday every time you go to the Lord. He promised. If you'll go into that private room, shut the door. You know, many times, there's always something that's coming at you when you wake up in the morning. But it's so good to get yourself stopped and behold the Lord. You know, don't go to the computer first. Don't go to your iPhone. Don't go anywhere. Stop. Let's all say that. Stop.
Stop.
Behold the Lord.
Behold the Lord.
You know, we have to have all the old thoughts and all the things we're concerned about stopped. This is the principle of what? Shut the door. So I'll say that. Shut the door.
Shut the door.
Tell your neighbor, shut the door.
Shut the door.
And then pray. You know, it takes just a little bit of time to get your being stopped. We're so active. It's an active world we live in. But I find myself, I'll be sitting there and I'll try to be touching the Lord, and then I'll see something in the carpet. How did that get there? What is that? You know. Or, you know, the pillow on the love seat over there. Wait, who moved that? You know, and I'll get up and then I sit down and realize, what am I doing? Stupid man. Shut the door. Shut the door. And just behold the Lord. So number one, behold the Lord. And call on the Lord. Just call on Him. Behold Him. Just take a moment. Then begin to pray. See, once everything is stopped, then begin to pray. Number two, pray. Okay? And mainly in our prayer, what do you want to do? You just want to touch Him. You want to love Him, touch Him, and then there's something usually that happens during this time, and it's precious, and that is we confess. We confess our sin. We confess anything the Lord shows us at that moment that we need to confess. Get our being cleared up so that what? The water can flow. That when you confess your sins, listen, don't you have a sense there's something moving in you, water in you? All of a sudden, the burden is off. Praise the Lord. First of all, we look at Him. We behold Him. And then we begin to what? Talk to Him. Speak with Him. Pray to Him. And clear up anything that's in the way. We just want to touch Him. Don't you want to touch the Lord?
Amen.
I've always given that little story about how I went through a fence with a BB gun when I was a kid. And I got through the fence, and then I accidentally touched the top wire, which was electric fence, you know. And I thought, but my BB gun hit that thing, and then what happened? I got electrified, you know what I mean? But I fell on through, and I got spared. But that's what needs to happen in the morning. Saints, we need to get electrified.
Amen.
We need to behold the Lord, start talking to the Lord. And when you talk to the Lord, what happens? You get divinely electrified. There's something that begins to happen in your being. You can call it the divine flow. You can call it whatever. But anyway, it's some divine electricity starts moving in your being. Then, this time in the morning is not for studying, doing a lot of other things. You just want to eat. What's the first thing in the morning? Eat. So number one, we behold the Lord. Stop and behold the Lord. We pray, and then we begin to read the Bible. Open the Bible, open the Word, and read. Now then, as you're reading, what are you doing? I like to use a little example that I think it was Martin Luther. He described getting into the Word in a way of praying over the Word. But here, just to begin with, I would say just read the Word and start shaking the limbs of every verse. Shake the limb and see if there's some berries there. This is what Martin Luther said. And if you're hungry, you know what? You'll find some berries. Actually, you'll get to the point where you're like under a tree and the berries are just coming. But mainly, what do you want to do in the morning? We want to eat. We want to eat. We want to get a little something to chew on. A little bit of food. So the third thing is what? Read. And then just pray over what you read. Pray over that little portion that's so delicious. Amen?
Amen.
Then you know what? That little portion, it could be a phrase. It could be a verse. It could just be a little phrase. But you know what? That little phrase can give you so much life, so much nourishment, so much supply. Okay? That's repayment. You get paid. You walk away and you're paid. Okay, saints, is that too hard? How long does this take? For some, it may be 10 minutes, some 15, some 20. It varies. Whatever time you have, do your best to do what? Four things. What are they?
Stop
and behold. Number two?
Pray.
Three?
Read.
Then four? Pray over what you read. This becomes your food. And like the children of Israel, this is the food for you to get out of Egypt. This is the food for you to move with the Lord that day. Okay? Now then, let's come to the message. Message four on building. This is so tremendous. Let's all read the title for this message. The stream of God's work for the building of God. Again, the stream of God's work for the building of
God.
Do you realize that God's flowing is for this? Or do you just realize, you know, most Christians, I would say, I was one of them that had the feeling, that had the realization, well, I believed in the Lord, I received Him, my sins are forgiven, and I'm good. Yeah. And maybe I was a little bit better than that. I thought, well, I need to read my Bible, although I was bad at that. And memorizing verses, I was bad at that. I need to do some good things. I need to be a testimony for the Lord. I tried, but, you know, that was the extent of it, you know, of my view of the Christian life. But too many, I would say too many believers throughout the centuries, they've been cheated. They've been cheated. They don't realize why the Lord has come into them. Why the Lord has saved them. He saved us for His building.
Amen.
Oh, building. He's after a building. I want to impress you. You know, in Matthew 16, with Peter, you all remember? Peter, he got a revelation of who Christ was. The Lord asked him, who do men say that I am? And he said, you know, well, you're this, you're that, you're, you know, Ezekiel or whatever. You know, you're John the Baptist come from the back from the dead. And then he says, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Listen, that's revelation. And even the Lord said, well, flesh and blood didn't reveal this. My Father who's in heaven revealed this to you.
Amen.
He rejoiced. He was so happy. Peter, you've got revelation of who I am. You're a believer. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, that's enough for salvation, right? Right? We all have that revelation, right? We're believers. But you know what the Lord said to Peter after that? He had one little word. I love it. And. Let's all say it. And. And I say also to you, you are Cephas? You are Cephas, which is interpreted Peter, which means a stone. He says, upon this rock, I will build my church. So keep this in mind. Peter got a revelation of who he was. And what did the Lord do right away? The Lord brought in the matter of, I'm going to build my church. And that revelation you got concerning me is what I need. That's the revelation upon which I will build my church. Isn't that the greatest prophecy in the New Testament? I will build my church. Does anybody care about that? Amen. Amen. I care. Do you care?
Amen.
I know Miles cares. Amen. What do you want to do?
Build a church.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to build the church. Peter got that revelation. Then in John chapter 1, what happens? Nathanael, you remember Nathanael? The Lord appeared to him, and eventually he got a revelation of who Christ was. He said something like, "You're the Christ. You're the what is it? You're the Son of God." Something else. Anyway, he got a revelation. You're the Son of God, and this is because you know, this was awesome that Nathanael, he didn't believe, but then all of a sudden he believed. You're the Son of God. Then he goes on. You know what the Lord said to Nathanael? Right away. It's good enough. Nathanael, you just got saved. But what did the Lord tell Nathanael? You'll see greater things than these. Right away in the Lord's heart it was, I want to show you something more than just a revelation of who I am. I want you to see what I'm after. You'll see greater things than these. You'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man, referring to what? Bethel, the house of God, the scene there with Jacob, where he was there and he saw the angels descending on a ladder. And he said, this is Bethel, the house of God. This is an awesome place. You remember that? Well, the Lord referred him back to that. You're going to see greater things. You're going to see the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isn't that significant? You get saved and the first thing you do, the Lord shows you what? Greater things. I will build my church. Take a look. Remember Jacob. Remember the house of God. A place where the heavens are open and there's transmission. Upon me, the Son of Man. This is what the Lord told Nathanael. So from this you can see, just in those two instances, the Lord, He's after something. Not just a revelation of Himself that saves us, but what is He after? Now then, let's read Roman number 1. Could we? Divine stream, which has been flowing throughout the ages, is a unique stream of God's work, where the divine stream flows. There is the work of God. So I like this. Where the divine stream flows, there is the work of God. Where the stream is, this divine stream is, that's where the work is. You know why? Because God has an intention. And His intention is to impart and work Himself into us as life. He's a God of life. And He wants to work Himself in to man and make His home in man, to dwell in man. We would become His dwelling place. We would become His house. Oh, this is the real work. Listen, you can do a lot of things for the Lord, but if you're not in the stream, it's not the work of God. It's not God's work. God's work is altogether what? In the stream. Are we in the divine stream?
Amen.
We're in the work of God.
Amen.
He's working Himself into us. His work is carried out by His flowing.
Amen.
Awesome, right? Oh, I want you to get excited, but I can't do it. He's flowing. He's flowing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's life. And where He flows, there's the work of God.
Amen.
He's been flowing. Nothing can stop Him. He's just flowing. He flowed into you. He reached you. You guys are all a part of God's work.
Amen.
Herman, that's worth a hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It is. Well, we need to stay in this divine stream to participate in and enjoy the work of God. what it will produce. But let's read point A under this. We'll just kind of follow the thought. Altogether, God's unique work
throughout all the ages and generations is to work Himself in Christ into His chosen people, making Himself one with them.
And you see Galatians there, Paul had that same feeling. He said, I travail again in birth until Christ is formed in you. I gave birth to you. In a sense, you were born again. You were regenerated because of me bringing the gospel to you. But you know what? I'm not through. I'm travailing again until what? Christ is formed in you. Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
Let's all say that. Christ formed in you.
Amen.
And Christ formed in you.
Yeah, point to your neighbor. You. Okay. Then, B, it says, the unique stream of the work of the Lord, the one divine stream, as recorded in the book of Acts, started on the day of Pentecost and has been flowing throughout all generations and is still flowing and never stops flowing. Saints, is He flowing right now?
Amen.
Let's just say, oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Keep flowing.
Keep flowing.
Keep me in the flow right now. He's been flowing. Now then, let's go to point two. All together, Roman numeral two. The issue of the divine stream, the flow of the divine life, is precious materials for the building of God's house. Now then, are you getting a picture of what this is all about? What is His flowing for? It's to produce precious materials for the building of God's house. And this is a big thing. This is a big thing. Before I get into this, I want to insert something here as a kind of a, I don't know. On one hand, it's kind of a refresher. Many of you know this, but I'd like for us to have a fresh appreciation for this and realization. Number one, we've already pointed out that God is life. And He used the river to portray Himself as life, to flow to man. And we know that God, in John, He became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. This was Christ. And what does it say in John 1:4? What does that say? Concerning Christ. What does it say, Michael? Yes. In Him was life. This is John's observation. Concerning Christ, in Him was life. Let's all say that. In Him was life. Life. Let's all say it. Life. In Him was what? Life. I love that word. That's why I have to... In Him was life. I just want to... You just can't stop. In Him was life. No, Jake, it's not just in Him was life. It's in Him was life. I hope you're impressed. In Him, He is the embodiment of God's divine life. It's Zoe. It's the eternal life of God. Indestructible. In Him was what? Life. Life. Then what happened? We see also that He wants to be life to man. In what? John 10:10b. What does it say there? This is the Lord talking. He said, I am what? I'm come, Michael, that you might what? Have?
Life.
I'm come that you might have life. Is that all? What, Jordan?
Amen.
I'm not impressed. Stand up. And have it what?
Abundantly.
Hey. Yes. I'm come that you might have life and might have it what? Abundantly. I want you to have a lot of life. Abundant life. Not just life in itself, but I want you to possess a lot. Even in quantity. I'm come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Well, He is life and He wants to give us life because He is God coming to be life to man. Then, listen to this. In John 4 and John 7, we've covered this weekend. With the woman at the well, you know, He told her, He said, if you knew who it was that was talking to you, you'd ask Him and He would give you what? living water. So the Lord Himself, He referred to this figure, living water. Ask me, I'll give you living water. Then He goes on, the water that I give will become in Him. What? A spring of water. What? Gushing up into eternal life. It will become in you. So again, the Lord is not, He's not just saying, okay, believe in me and you have eternal life. No, He's saying, the water that I give will become in you. Enoch, a spring of water gushing up into a realm of life. Amen. This is the Lord's words. Do you believe the Bible?
Amen.
Isn't that awesome that he would use these kind of illustrations, considering Himself as life to man, being really a river of water of life? Out of your innermost being, in John 17, come to me and drink, right? If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. What is that? This is a man talking to all these people and said, come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. And out of your innermost being shall what?
Flow rivers.
Rivers of living water. Again, but then listen to this. This is important. Right after that, the Lord said what? This He said concerning the Spirit, which those who believed on Him were about to receive. For the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Right.
So right away He linked the flowing water in our being to what? It's the Spirit. What I'm talking about is what?
The Spirit.
Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. What is that?
It's the Spirit.
Okay, you clear? Amen. Then let's go to John 14. And then I just want to read a few verses here so you kind of see what the Lord is saying. Because the Lord, He offers Himself as water. And then He says, it's really the Spirit, and the Spirit's not yet until He's died and resurrected. In John 14, He does something marvelous, saints. He's with His disciples, and he's about to go to the cross. Now then, in verse 16, John 14, 16. Okay, Angel, why don't you stand up? Why don't you read this? Come here. Yep.
You going to read it with me?
No, just read it. Just go slow.
And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter.
Another comforter? Okay, you have to get the scene. He's with the disciples. And they've been with Him for 3.5 years. And then He says this. Go say it again.
And He will give you another comforter.
What would you say if you're the disciples? You'd probably go, oh, what? Another? Okay, then go on.
That He may be with you forever.
Well, that sounds good. Amen. That He may be with you, what? Forever. Another comforter. Then what does He say?
Even the Spirit of reality.
Well, what? The Spirit of reality. What is that? You know, they heard it, but did they realize what He was saying? I don't think so. But He's presenting it to them. I'm going to send another comforter. Who has been their comforter all this time?
Jesus.
Amen. He was a comfort to them. Again and again they get in trouble, but He was there. They were in the boat on the sea, rocking and rolling, and He saves them, right? He was their comforter. Now He's going to say, another comforter, that He may be with you forever, even the Spirit of reality. Then what?
Whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold Him or know Him.
Right. But, go ahead.
What?
Yeah, but.
You know Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know Him.
Amen.
How do they know Him?
How does who know Him?
How do the disciples know Him? But you know Him.
They were with Him.
Yeah, go ahead, finish. That's good.
Because He abides with you.
I've been right with you.
And shall be in you.
Amen.
No, not just in you. And shall be in you.
Let me do that?
Yeah.
And shall be in you.
Exactly. He shall be in you.
Amen.
So, okay, so He's going to send another comforter. The Spirit of reality. He'll be with you forever. And He'll be what? In you. Okay, but we're here saying, but we want you, Lord.
And then He says, I will not leave you as orphans.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad we're not going to be orphans. But what does He say?
I am coming to you.
What do you mean, I am coming to you? You mean the Spirit of reality is coming.
He's the Spirit.
What did He say?
Where?
He just said, I am coming to you.
Amen.
Say it like that.
I am coming to you.
It's okay. I am coming to you.
Amen.
Amen. Go on.
Yet a little while, and the world beholds me no longer. But you behold me.
Amen.
Because I live, you also shall live.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Okay. In that day you will know that I am in my Father.
Okay. Now this is really mysterious. Listen to this, Herman. You ready? In that day, the day of resurrection, you'll know something. What is that?
I am in my Father.
Amen.
And you in me.
Amen.
And I in you.
Amen.
And what? I in you. Okay, good. Thanks. Do you get the sense here? The Lord is letting them know ahead of time. Listen, I'm sending another comforter, the Spirit of reality. And you know who it is? It's me. I'm not leaving you orphans. I am coming to you. In that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father and you in me and what? I in you. So now I have to ask, who is in us? Yeah.
Jesus has the Spirit.
Amen. As we believed in Christ, did we all believe in Christ?
Amen.
Did we receive Him?
Amen.
What happened? We received Him how? As the Spirit. And of course, we're all clear in 1 Corinthians 15:45b, what? The last Adam Christ, what? Became a life-giving Spirit. He's what kind of Spirit?
Life-giving.
So what kind of Spirit do we have in us?
Life.
Amen.
Amen.
Enoch, what kind of Spirit do we have in us? I mean, Ichong. Amen. Making sure he's awake. Hallelujah. Life-giving. So, the Lord helped them to see ahead of time. Then what happened in John 20? On the day of resurrection, He came into the room. Peace be to you. And then what did He do? It says He breathed into them. He breathed into them. Amen. And said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit was not yet, but now what? Receive.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, they got electrified. Then what happened after that? They began to pray. They were together in one accord. Eventually the Spirit was poured out upon them. And then you have the formation of the body of Christ, the church. So now today, brothers and sisters, who is living in us? It's Christ as the Spirit. You know, in Romans 8:2, you have that little phrase, the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of life in us. In Romans 8:9, Romans 8:9, you have a little phrase, the Spirit of Christ. Is Christ the Spirit? Must be. Spirit of Christ. And then Philippians 1:9, what? There's the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So saints, I just want us to be impressed. Who do we have in us? It's Christ. It's Him. There's a living person in us. The person who walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. He became the Spirit and now lives in us.
Amen.
And He's life in us.
Amen.
He's abundant life. He's a bountiful supply. He's the life-giving Spirit. So He's now in us, wanting to what? Give us life. This is His flowing. This is Him out of our innermost being, what? Flowing rivers of living water. So now I'm coming back to this matter of the rivers. When we talk about rivers, what are we talking about? We're talking about Him as the Spirit. It's not just sometimes we get, you know, use the term a lot, Spirit, 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 and it can be so common to us. You know, I used to go looking for the Lord in this one place. It was always the power of the Holy Ghost. That was scary to me. You know, the power of a Holy Ghost. I didn't know who that was. You know, what is this? But we realize Listen, the Holy Spirit has power. It's all in the Spirit, which is Christ, who's now what? He's a river of water of life flowing in us. Oh, saints, who is living in us? They're all synonymous. Life, the Spirit,
amen.
The water,
amen.
The flow,
amen.
The grace,
amen.
Christ,
amen.
Jesus,
amen.
God.
Amen.
Yeah, God in Christ as the Spirit has flowed into us.
Amen.
Are you clear? Have I warned you out with this? Do you appreciate Jesus lives in you?
Amen.
And He's the life-giving Spirit?
Amen.
He's a river of water of life?
When you go on to
the end of the Bible, you go to the last two chapters, and you can't help but be impressed. Because first I'll just read Revelation, I think 19:6. There's a little phrase. Nope, 21:6. I'm sorry. At the end of the verse, it says, "I will give to them who thirst from the spring of the water of life freely." Water of life freely. Then you go to the Revelation 22, verse 1. What is it? He showed me, we all know it, right? Let's declare it. He showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And then actually there's one more verse here that's tremendous. Go on to Revelation 22, verse 17. Now that you've heard what you just heard, consider this. What does this verse mean? And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride? I won't get into this. Anyway, get it later. Let's all say it though. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Hallelujah. The Spirit, which is just Him. Who's the Bride?
Us.
The Spirit has flowed into us, saturated us. And now there's a call to everyone. What? Come. And let him who hears say,
come. Come.
Let him who's thirsty,
come. Come.
Let him who thirsts, no, let him who wills take the water of life freely. Okay? He's flowing throughout the whole Bible. It's Him. It's Him. And it's Him in us, moving and flowing and growing little by little. Weren't you impressed with all the dots? This is what He's doing. He's moving in little by little. Let's go back to the outline real quick. From the picture in Genesis 2, we see that out of the flowing of the stream come the gold, pearl, and precious stones, which are precious materials for the building of God's dwelling place. And anyway, you know that there was a river, there were some precious materials there in the Garden of Eden. And then in B, let's all read this one together. To me, this is a particular burden here. I think we should pay attention all together. The flowing of the divine life in man brings the divine nature into man, regenerates man, transforms man into precious materials for God's building. So, you have some verses there. The first verse, 2 Peter 1:4, what is that? We're partakers of the divine nature. We partake, and then in 1 Peter 1:3, we're regenerated, and then in 2 Corinthians 3:18, there is a process of us being transformed. Do you like transformation? What do you think about it? Should Christians be transformed? Do they get transformed when the first time they get, when they just get saved? A little bit. A little bit. But the Lord is in the process of transforming us into precious stones for His building. You know, a caterpillar is not the best example, but you do have a matter of a caterpillar. And a caterpillar becomes what? So, whenever you look at your neighbor, look at your neighbor and tell them what they are. Oh, what did you say? Sometimes we look at each other, we just see caterpillar, caterpillar. You know, sometimes we think, you know, that's the problem. You know, sometimes we think we're somebody. You know, well, I'm becoming a butterfly, and then everybody else should be up to my standard. No, Let everybody be where they are. You can't change, you can't manipulate, and you can't organize a caterpillar to become a butterfly. You know how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly? By the organic growth in life.
Amen.
Life does it. Life does it. Let's all say that. Life does it.
Life does it.
The flowing of God's life does it. How can that one sitting next to you become a butterfly? The flowing of life. He needs life. How can Daniel ever be transformed? Life. Exactly. Then, okay, see, all these precious materials are the products of our participation in and enjoyment of Christ in our spirit through the Holy Spirit. Okay. I'd like to use the illustration again of what it's like, what's happening when we're being transformed. You know, Eric, why don't you come up here? I was going to use Miles, but I think I'll use Eric this time. I use Miles all the time. Okay. There's the verses in 2 Corinthians 3. It says in verse 16, it says, whenever the heart turns to the Lord, what happens? The veil is taken away. Now this is a young man, and he wakes up in the morning, and okay, back up a little bit. Oh well, here we go. He wakes up in the morning, and the Lord is waiting, is there. But does he see the Lord when you wake up?
No.
Do you behold the Lord? What are you thinking about? You're probably thinking about, oh, that test, that this and that. Is that right? You thinking about the, you know, going checking Facebook real quick or something? Well, then all of a sudden the Lord kind of bothers him, and then, oh yeah, you need to turn to me. And he begins to turn to the Lord. Okay, start turning.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You live in me.
Amen. Amen. Now what? What does the verse say? We all with unveiled face. He's unveiled. Now what is he doing?
Beholding.
He's beholding the glory.
Amen.
The glory of the Lord. What does he look like to you guys? It actually says, it's like a mirror. He's like a mirror. Who do you see? You see Eric? He's beholding the Lord. He's beholding the Lord, but who do you see? You see the Lord. Anyway, I'm getting confused myself. Anyway. He's a mirror. He's looking at the Lord and he's reflecting Christ to you. So the Christ we see in the morning, the Christ we behold whenever we turn our heart to the Lord, is the one that others aren't able to see through us. Don't you want him to be seen through you? How can he be seen through us? We have to be the mirrors. But for us to be the mirrors, what if he's looking at the LA Lakers? What does he look like?
Kobe.
Looks like some Kobe guy or something. What if he had a bad day? What if they lost? Again and again and again. He's not smiling. Sorry, you shouldn't be smiling. Because he's beholding the Lakers. And he reflects the Lakers. But when they're winning, you know, he's reflecting. Yeah. But what do we want to reflect? We want to reflect the glory of the Lord. Behold, reflect the glory of the Lord. But then there's something else that's happening here. What does that verse say? There's something else going on. We're not just a mirror reflecting the Lord, beholding and reflecting the Lord. What are we doing?
Being transformed.
What does the verse say? We're being what? Transformed into what?
Same image.
Amen. You got to watch out. If you behold the Lord, you'll be transformed into the same image of the Lord.
Amen.
The glory of the Lord. Amen. Eventually, what happens? You see Him. Who does He look like? It's just the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
He gets transformed into the same image. Amen. From glory to glory.
Amen.
Even as from the Lord's Spirit, right? Okay, so we're under a process. Butterflies becoming caterpillars becoming butterflies by our beholding the Lord. Because we're not just looking at Him. He's infusing us. He's beaming Himself. He's working Himself into us. He's flowing more of Himself into our being. Where the end result is what? We look like Him. We behold the glory of the Lord and we express the glory of the Lord. And it's little by little, right, Herman? From glory to glory, a little more glory. Angel, how much glory do you have?
Not enough.
Amen. We always agree with that regarding ourselves. Amen. We're all not enough. But it's more than we have more glory than when we first came up here. Do you realize you have more of the Lord's glory in you because you've been looking at the Lord, beholding the Lord? Aren't you a little bit brighter? Tell your neighbor you're more beautiful than you can. When you can. This is what He's doing. Isn't that awesome? You know, another example, of course, is petrified wood, right? Petrified wood. You know, the wood is in the water and the water is flowing. And what happens over a long period of time, little by little, the minerals are, you know, the wood is replaced with the minerals in the water. And eventually what happens to the wood? It becomes a precious stone. This is what the Lord's doing by us. We just need to what? Stay in the river.
Amen.
Stay in the river.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, stay
in the river.
Become petrified wood.
Petrified wood.
A precious stone. And of course, you know, in 1 Peter, Peter got the revelation. He realized, I'm a stone. But he goes on to tell you, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. You're being built up. You know, saints, this matter of building is so big. You know, Paul, again and again, he uses a little phrase, we're being built together, right? In Ephesians 2, 21 and 22, you have this matter of being knit together. You have this matter of being built together. These phrases are there in the New Testament showing what's happening to us. What's happening to us? We're being built together.
Amen.
We're being knit together. This is how He gets His building. Listen, the church is not just a bunch of stones piled together. It's not stones all isolated. He's not after a bunch of individual living stones. To Him, they're just rolling stones. They're not built up. But His desire are stones built together to be His corporate expression on the earth. His church as His body. This is how He's expressed. Do you think you yourself can express Him adequately? No, we need the body. We need the church.
Amen.
We need to be built together.
Amen.
But that building takes place, how? Not by us behaving, not by us going by certain legality. It's not even by having all the right teaching. Listen, He gets His building by flowing.
Amen.
It's by the river.
Amen.
Everything is in the river that's needed to make us precious stones for His building. The more He flows into us, the more beautiful we become. We become precious to Him. And we become knit together, built together. This is very practical. Which brings us to the last point. Roman numeral 3. Actually, D, there's this point. In our natural man, we can never produce material. And actually, we have to read this real quick. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Hurry. Running out of time. 1 Corinthians 3. This is a real warning. I hope you're open to this. This is a warning. This is the Scripture. This is the Lord speaking. And in 1 Corinthians 3, let's begin with verse 12. The first thing he talks about is there's a foundation. The foundation of God's building is what? Christ. It's Christ, Jesus Christ. Then verse 12, let's all read it. But if anyone builds
upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, brass, stubble.
13. The work of each
will become manifest.
For the day will declare it.
Because it is revealed by fire, and
14. If anyone's work which he has built upon the foundation remains, he will receive a reward. 15. Okay. We don't understand it necessarily, but we do see according to the word. The fire of God's presence, somehow the Lord will test our work. Every one of us will have to give an account of what sort our work is. And Paul makes it clear here, there's two kinds of material he's looking for in God's building. And you can't just build the church with just natural things. What if you're a gifted person and you can move people to do this, do that? Even like Craig mentioned last night, you may be a great teacher. You can teach people. That's good. That may help prepare them. You can heal people. You know, you can do. You can help people to be sanctified and holy and live a holy life. But is the Lord after just that? No. Here you have gold, silver, precious stones, but then what else? Wood, grass, stubble. Saints, if we build with wood, grass, and stubble, listen, it won't last. Is that good for a building? So as we're moving and living in the church life, whatever we do, it needs to be what? It needs to be in the divine stream. It's in the divine stream, which is God's work, where there's gold. There's pearl. There's precious stones. You see? There's gold, silver, precious stones. The river produces the materials. We stay in the river. What happens? All of our work, it's all in the flow.
Amen.
And it produces gold, silver, precious stones.
Amen.
And then eventually, what are we doing? We're giving each other what? Gold. We're giving God's divine nature. We're giving Christ His redemptive work. We're giving precious. The Spirit is the transforming Spirit to one another that transforms one another. In other words, the building takes place by the river flowing in us, moving in us, and flowing out of us.
Amen.
We minister life to one another.
Amen.
We don't minister law. We don't minister the letter. What do we minister?
Life.
I like that. Remember in 2 Corinthians 3, there's that other phrase? He's made us able ministers, not of the letter, but what? Of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but what? Spirit gives life. So what do we minister?
Life.
Exactly. We minister the Spirit. The Spirit gives life. We minister life. This is what will last. This is what's good for God's building. You know, just a good message. A good message doesn't help. What really is needed is what? The flow of living water.
Amen.
Flowing in us again and again. This would be our living. We live in the divine flow. We walk in the divine flow.
Yeah,
we live in the Spirit.
Amen.
Walk in the Spirit. We minister the Spirit to one another. We give life to one another.
Amen.
This is good for building.
Amen.
Then we've got to go to this last big point. It's not the last, but it's all we'll be able to cover. Roman numeral 3. Can we read that all together? The more there is the building, the more the flow of God will issue forth. The more building, saints, there's more flow of God issues forth. And that causes us to think, well, how much building is there? How much building do I have? Am I built with anybody? Are we built? Are we just living isolated stones? The picture in Ezekiel 47 is what? The river flows out of the house. When the house is built, when there's some building, there's a river there. And that river flows out and it gives life. Everywhere it flows, what does it do?
Life.
The river gives what?
Life.
Everything lives where the river flows.
Amen.
Right? The Dead Sea even becomes living. There's fish and there's lambs and there's calves and there's fruit that comes out of this flowing river. But it comes out of what? It comes out of the building. What do we need, saints? We need the building. This is what makes God happy. This is His heart's desire. He wants building. I like to go back to a verse. I hope you appreciate this one. It's in Haggai 1:8. This is where the Lord, He said, go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house. And then what does the Lord say? I will take pleasure in it and be glorified. Listen, if you know that the Lord said, I want a building, I want a house for myself to dwell, and He says, I will take pleasure in it, what should we give ourselves to? Give ourselves to the building. Lord, I want to build the church. I want the building up of the body of Christ. I want to minister Christ. I want to minister life to one another. I want to be built together as your building so that water can flow out of us, to flow to others. Others can become living. Others can become part of your house. Do you want this?
Amen.
Well, practically here, I think I'd like to just go on to... Okay, let's just read it and then we'll... And I'll point out one more thing. A.
The Lord Jesus as the fountain, the source of living water, is in the church, the house of God, because Christ as the fountain is in the house.
The water now flows within and out of the house of God. Hallelujah. B. We have to pay our full attention to the house of God. Stay in the house. If we are willing to be built up as the house of the Lord,
we will have the Lord within us as the source of the living water.
There's some interesting verses there in Ezekiel where it points out he told Ezekiel to go over all the aspects, you know, go over the design of the house. Tell them about the design of the house so that they could be humiliated, humbled. They realize how short they are. In other words, and then he goes on, I think he refers to it, measure them. They need to be measured by the pattern. Our pattern is God's house.
Wow.
Our living, does it match God's house? That's our pattern. Hallelujah. We're measured by the house. Does what we do fit in the house of God? Do all the things you do and you're occupied with, do they fit in the house?
No.
No. We need to be measured according to the house. Okay, then going on, C, all the other. Wherever and whenever a group of believers are built up in oneness, the river will flow out of their building up. The flow depends on the building. Then D, flowing out through the preaching of the gospel depends upon the building. Christians are built up as one. There will be the impact of the gospel and the world will be convinced. So two things, you know, these last 2 points I just appreciate. To me, they're very much related to the Lord's move in the New Testament. In the New Testament, you know, when the church life began, they were meeting house to house. Daily, day by day, house to house, they were meeting and they were continuing in the apostles' teaching. And they were in one accord and they were rejoicing and they were praising God. And it was a beautiful scene. And this was a new invention. This was something new, altogether new. The Christians were so used to, I mean, the ones in Judaism, they just were used to meeting in big facilities. But then the church life began, and there were thousands in Jerusalem, 3,000, then 5,000. There's tens of thousands in Jerusalem. They just met as a church in Jerusalem, but where were they meeting mostly? Meeting house to house, day by day. Most of the church life was where? In the homes. So this is where the Lord carries out so much of the building. It's in the church life. It's the house to house church life. And what the Lord needs is a building going on in all the homes. I hope all of you know the joy of being built together with others, knit together with others. I mean, look at Angel. He's in our group meeting. Sometimes he's there. He's wrestling with Miles. They're wrestling. It's like, what kind of home is this? What kind of church meeting is this? You know what? This is what's going on. It's a beautiful scene. It's called love. They love one another. You know? Hallelujah. But this is the kind of environment and atmosphere we need to raise up. It's one of being built together in love, knit together in love. Love is key. If there's not love, then it's nothing. It's nothing. I'm sorry. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 says. It's nothing. And so, it's a precious thing to be built together with younger ones, older ones. I mean, Herman, we haven't known Herman that much, but look at that. He actually likes to come to an old person's house. It's the food. It's Mama Walker is what it is. They call her, call my wife, Mama Walker. Anyway, yeah, hallelujah. There's food there. But it's a sweet environment where we can, where during the week we get together. We pray. We pray for one another. We understand what's going on in the lives of one another. It's like a dining table with your family. You pray for one another. I can't tell you, this has been going on for another, you know, year or so, 2 years. We've had situations where people, the ones in our group, they want us to pray for this or that. And you know what? The one thing that comes up again and again are jobs. They need jobs. Listen, we get together. What happens, Michael? We just pray. We pray for one another. We care for one another. And ones, we just can't believe it. They get the jobs. Then this one gets a job. That one gets a job. We can just go on and on. It's like the human resources department of the church in Los Angeles. Even we had one in the Bible school come to me and said, could you pray for my sister back in Atlanta? She's looking for work. She hasn't been able to find anything. So we went back to our group meeting. We prayed for her. Guess what happened? She got a job. I mean, on one hand, this seems like miracles, you know what I mean? But it's not. It's people agreeing together, loving one another, in harmony with one another. And then our desire is to take care of one another. But that's not all. We want fruit. We want the fish. We want calves. We want the lambs. We want fruit abounding. So we love to have the gospel going out. We love the new ones to come. Hallelujah. You're here, Herman. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you glad? Amen. Miles, what about you, brother? You been enjoying the church life? Yeah. The building issues in the flow. There's impact. If we're not built together and knit together in life and in love with a burden for fruit, there's no impact. We can do a lot of things, but there's no fruit. We have to have these things, right? What are they? Life. We need the flow of life. Right? Number one, what do we need in all the groups? In all our groupings together, whatever they may be, different levels in the church life, we need to be focused on Christ as life. And then what, David? Love for one another. Then what? We're burdened for fruit. We want to multiply. We want to increase. Don't we? Amen. Amen. We want Him to be glorified. Amen. He takes pleasure and delight in what? The building of His house. Amen. So what do, saints? Let's build. How do we build? Oh, Jesus, how do we build? Amen. Saints, let's just stay in the flow of life. Everything is in this river. You know, you may have problems with one another, but listen, everything you need is in the flow of life. Enoch, do you have problems with any brothers? Probably not. He's on a honeymoon, I think. But you know what? If you have any problems, drink the river.
Amen.
The medicine is in the river. The peace is in the river. All the problems are solved in the river. Amen. Do you believe me?
Amen.
I saw a river flowing and I what? Jump right in. You know that, right? I saw a river flowing and I jumped right in. Da, 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 da. Anyway. Do you see the river? Do you see the divine stream flowing from Genesis to Revelation? And it will flow on into eternity. Eventually, this flow will produce the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is the consummation of all His work. His work, remember, His work, I hope you get this, His work is to flow into us, to saturate us, permeate us with Himself, to flow out of us to the ones around us, that He could build us together as His corporate expression.
Amen.
He's so happy. He's glorified in this. Is that right?
Amen.
So what should we do? Give ourselves to building.
Amen.
Give ourselves to be in the flow.
Amen.
Give ourselves to drink the river.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, drink a river.
Drink a river.
Again, all together, drink a river.
Build the house.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.